FM8
Main menu.
Hello everyone, this is Jeff Bishop and welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. Main Menu can be heard at One Universal on Wednesdays, that's Tuesday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We have a lot coming up on this two-hour edition of Main Menu. Here's what's coming up.
Well, I think Zoom is going to address two markets, similar to Talks. With Talks, we address obviously the blindness market, but we also address the low-vision market. And Zoom addresses a much broader market because you can, of course, also address the customers with low vision who would also be Talks users and probably would use both products combined, which of course is working very well. And we can also address some very new markets, which is the elderly market or the market with persons who have mild vision impairments.
We first hear from Nuance on the new Zooms product for your mobile phone. And we get an update on the newly released Talks for your mobile phone, version 2.5.
I should have a keyboard, so I'll press the escape key to get out of this dialog, and I mean the escape key in the upper left-hand corner of my foldable keyboard.
Pocket Word Window, Rich Text Editor.
And I hear that I'm in my Rich Text Editor, my Pocket Word Window, so now I'm going to go ahead and put down my PDA, and now I'm in a position to really type in the fashion that I am accustomed, so I'll just go ahead and type, this is a demonstration. I've got keyboard echo turned off.
We next hear from Triumphonic about their new Triumphonic MPAC product.
So we'll turn the device on and we'll give you a bit of a demonstration now of what you can expect when you first install Mobile Speak Pocket, which can be totally done yourself using a screen reader on your desktop machine. The device will plug into your USB port and you simply run the Mobile Speak installation and go through the instructions.
And finally this week, Scott Rakowski brings us an abbreviated review about Mobile Speak Pocket. That's all coming up this week on ACB Radio's Main Menu.
I'm Dave Williams. You're listening to ACB Radio's Main Menu, a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. A couple of weeks ago, we announced on the program that the new name for Scansoft is Nuance. And joining us on the line this week with some exciting product announcements is Torsten Brand, all the way from Germany, one of the developers behind the Talk software, which is the screen reader for your Series 60 and Series 80 mobile phone. And also in the United States, joining us from upstate New York, is Robert Rieger. A very warm welcome to you both, gentlemen. And Torsten, you've been on the program before. You know the drill, so welcome back. And perhaps, do you want to introduce us to Robert and describe what Robert does, and perhaps Robert you can chip in and talk about why you're joining us on this time around.
Yes, so Robert Rieger is the sales manager for the North American market who handles Talks and Zooms, which is our new product that we're going to announce here. And in that function he also builds relationships with the blindness-related organizations. So I think you should hear more from him in the future.
Okay, Robert, what's your background? Have you been working in assistive technology long? What kind of angle do you come to this from?
Well, actually, I started in 1999 as a product manager and sales manager for Eloquent Technology, so that makes ETI Eloquence text-to-speech, which actually is here in my hometown of Ithaca, New York, is where it originated. SpeechWorks purchased Eloquent Technology in the year 2000, and then, of course, through a series of acquisitions and transfers and things like that, then became ScanSoft, and then it became under the umbrella of Nuance Communications. So basically, I go back, my lineage is through Eloquent Technology and ETI Eloquence.
Right, and of course, people listening to this program, even if they're not necessarily Talks users, will be familiar with the Eloquence speech synthesizer, and you must be very proud that the synthesizer that was developed in your hometown is pretty much almost universal now, it seems.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm always always pleased to boast about that, exactly.
Yeah, certainly it's a de facto speech synthesizer for many of the desktop screen readers and certainly with Talks. I can't imagine Talks speaking with any other voice.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because as text-to-speech progresses on the concatenative TTS side, getting more, human-like for, I guess a broader population, ETI Eloquence certainly endures, and we're proud of that.
So let's talk about the new product announcement then this week. Zooms, I believe, is the name. Is that right, Torsten?
That's correct, yes. It's called Nuance Zooms. And it is it's not the first magnification program for mobile handsets, as you know, but it is the first full-screen magnification program. It means it utilizes the complete display area to magnify the original contents of that the phone's display. And by doing this, it can achieve a zooming factor between 1.5 and up to 16x. So it's quite much for those who need it. And it can also implement a very special feature that we call the distributed views mode, which means you can see all important areas of the screen at once, magnified by two. Those are the window title, obviously, the focused part, and a little bit around that, and also the two soft keys or display keys, as they're called as well. So these are things that are really unique to Zooms. Zooms also integrates with the system in such a way that it's completely invisible for the system. That means even if you would take a screenshot or if you would take a picture with a camera, anything can be magnified. But of course, what you get is still the original display.
Zooms essentially is then a screen magnifier application that one would install on a Series 60 mobile phone. Am I understanding this right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and we'll talk about compatibility in a second. Now, how much freedom do you have to magnify things? I remember, back in the days of DOS, when the original screen magnifiers came along, and I remember that they could magnify text, but they couldn't magnify graphics and the like. So what you're saying is that this will pretty much magnify almost anything that can be displayed on your mobile phone screen. So that would include the various indicators like the battery level indicator and the network signal strength, that kind of thing, yeah?
Yes, it magnifies anything that is shown on the original display. And we have not done extensive testing with things like games, for example, but it can magnify any phone application and also, the third-party applications that you would use on these phones. It can even magnify things like the camera window, which is pretty much graphical, obviously. And it magnifies the icons, it magnifies especially the indicators that you have named. And you have also special functions, basically seamless integration with Torx in this case. That means when you, for example, announce the network and battery status, then the same function key sequence will also position the magnification view on the same status indicators.
Okay, and where let's talk, just sort of curious about the the development of Zooms. Is this something you think people are crying out for? Do you think there's a huge demand for magnification software on a mobile phone? And presumably you've done trials and things, and are you finding that people are finding this to be an effective way to use their phone? I know certainly, since I had a talking mobile phone, I would never go back. I can't imagine owning a phone now that wouldn't read the contacts and the calendar and the messages, and I use it for email and browse web pages and that kind of thing. I couldn't go back now. Whenever I think about my operator at the end of the year when my contract comes up, that they say to me, well, we can offer you an upgrade, and it's always a consideration now. Well, am I going to be able to use Torx on this, or am I going to be able to use mobile speak on this? It's so important to me now. I can't imagine how I ever managed without it. Do you think the same is going to be the case with Zooms?
Well, I think Zooms is going to address two markets similar to Torx. With Torx, we address obviously the blindness market, but we also address the low vision market. And Zooms addresses a much broader market, because you can, of course, also address the customers with low vision, who would also be Torx users, and probably would use both products combined, which of course is working very well. And we can also address some very new market, which is the elderly market, or the market with persons who have mild vision impairments. Those would be persons who could use a mobile phone if they look hard enough, but they just feel uncomfortable. They may use a magnification glass. I have seen on the internet that there are even some special adapters that you can attach to your mobile phone to get the display magnified. And I think this would be the target group we could address with a product like Zoom. So looking at things like the distributed views, for example, which is especially nice if you use low zooming factors, like 2x, for example, or looking at the 1.5x zooming factor that just magnifies the screen a little bit, you can almost anytime see the complete text that you want to see. And get it magnified, which makes reading just easier for those with mild vision impairments. Looking at those who require higher zooming factors, we have also implemented features like auto-zooming, which means that you can you go around in the menu, for example. You can initially only see a few letters, maybe, if the zoom-in factor is quite high. But then after a time that you can configure, maybe 1 second, it starts to scroll automatically to give you the view of the complete word or complete text associated with the current focus.
Right, because I would imagine features like that are going to be very important, because you don't have a lot of screen real estate to play with. With a traditional desktop PC, magnifier application, you can go out and buy a big 20-inch monitor or even larger. I know some people have their computers hooked up to their TV sets at home, big widescreen TV. You can't do that with a mobile phone, particularly if you're out and about. So I guess guess things like auto-scrolling and keys to navigate around the screen. So can you talk us through, either yourself, Torsten, or Robert, just talk us through a practical example. Say somebody receives a text message, or they want to send a text message. What kinds of keystrokes and things are they going to have? How difficult is it going to be? What are they going to have to do over and above? Comparing Zooms to Talks, when I use Talks, I don't think about pressing keys to read things on the screen.
No,
Talks
it's the same
is
with
very Zooms. Intuitive.
Yeah, it's the same with Zooms. Zooms is completely integrated with Talks and its focus tracking engine. In fact, it's one installer that you install on the phone that contains both the Talks and the Zooms components, though they are different products. Of course, from a certain viewpoint. And that means, for example, when you enter an SMS message, Zoom tracks the cursor just like Talks does. When you read the SMS message, if you read it line by line, word by word, you know what you can do with Talks. Basically, it would be the same with Zooms. You have the ability also to move around the screen independent of the current focus by just pressing the cursor key and hold it until you have reached the place that you want to see magnified. So it's really very easy and very intuitive to use without much keystrokes that you have to learn. Of course, if you learn keystrokes, you can do a little bit more. You know that from Talks. If you want to read the battery indicators and network indicators, you have to know the keystrokes. And with Zooms, you can press the same to get the view immediately located at the right point to view these icons. So it's similar, very similar to Talks, and the learning curve is not really that long.
Torsten, you may want to describe about auto-scrolling.
Yeah, I said that was what I said before already. When you in any situation, it tries to do things quite automatic by default. At least you can turn that off if you like. Like auto-scrolling, that when you go down a menu, for example, it helps you to see the whole entry that is just the important one, the focused one, without any need of pressing extra keystrokes except the keys that you need anyway to maneuver around the menu, of course.
Now, Torsten, I'm blind. You're blind. Now, Robert, do you have any sight at all?
No, I'm fully sighted.
Excellent. Right, that's useful because that plays into my next question, which is I've heard reports certainly in the earlier days of desktop magnifying applications. Again, it's the only sort of benchmark that we have really that when text was magnified, particularly to a very high magnification factor. One of the problems in the early days, I know now that this has been addressed, but one of the problems in the early days has been that the characters can become a bit blocky, a bit pixelated. Is that a word? Do you find that the magnification is smooth? Are the characters as clear as the display will allow, or is there still some development to go on in that area, do you think?
No, it looks very crisp and clear. It's quite good.
Yeah, of course, if you have very high magnification factors, then you can see some effects, because we cannot do things like font smoothing easily on these phones. You always have to think about the low processing power that you have on these phones.
16x, you do start to see it, but I'm not sure how many of the users are going to go that high. I mean, that's incredible.
And if you go that high, then you probably cannot see much of it.
No, I'd imagine you probably only get a couple of characters at a time. I'm Dave Williams. You're listening to ACB Radio's Main Menu, a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. And we're in conversation with Robert Rieger from the United States and Torsten Brand from Germany, both of whom work with Nuance. And this month are announcing the launch of Zooms, a magnification application for your Series 60 mobile phone. Now, either of you can take this one. Clearly, this is the the first release of Zoom, so it sounds like there's quite a lot packed in there already. Is magnification enough? Because I have a little bit of light perception, and I find that if something is very high contrast, that can be beneficial. And in talking to people who have low vision, I hear that quite a lot of the time. Typically, CCTVs have a reverse video mode where they'll change blacks into whites and whites into blacks and that kind of thing. Have you guys thought about?
Yes, we already have a color reduction that reduces the normal colors to grayscale or even to black and white if you want that. And we also have inverted colors so you can have it look like a negative photo.
Ah, okay. Now, how does that play out on the? Because I'm guessing most of the Series 60 phones have fairly comprehensive displays. You know, the phone screen. I mean, you hear about all these millions of colors or thousands of colors that they can display now, and they're backlit and all this. You know, I remember when I got my first mobile phone. I'm sure it could probably display the phone number, and that was pretty much about it. So, the displays that you have to work with, are they up to the task, do you think?
Well, the display quality is quite good, and we have. When we look at these modes, like the grayscale mode, that works just fine. If you look at black and white, then the problem is a little bit to identify the cursor in this. You know, it's a very high contrast, obviously, and it's very it's sometimes a little hard to see the bar, basically, in the menu. You know, the highlights. So there's some room for improvement there, like. Perhaps introducing a third color that will be used for the cursor or something like that. So we're certainly looking at that for the future. But it's already very nice, and of course it's also quite useful for those who have problems seeing certain colors as well. So we have had very good reports on that. The one report even was that we should consider implementing 1x magnification for those who just have color problems.
Well, there you go. Now, does the magnification, does that update in real time? If you're looking at the how many bars you've got for your network signal strength, can you have that staying on the display so you can monitor the coverage if you're trying to find an area of good coverage?
Yes, if the focus doesn't move, you can have it stay on the display. So if you basically on the, for example, on the main phone screen and just are waiting for coverage so it can start to call, you simply position it there and it stays there.
One comment I could make is that it's important that we try to make both Talks and Zooms have a wider market, because obviously that'll help us pour more development resources into, improving the product. And, there's many people have expressed interest in using Talks with the sighted community so that, for example, in driving mode, making your handset be, much more accessible while your eyes are on the road. And so we're looking for similar types of things like that for Zooms as well. And I can tell you that whenever I talk about Zooms to people, people frequently, sighted users frequently say that they'd like to have something like that as well.
Yeah.
Because, it's tough on, to see all of the features of a cell phone screen just because it's so small.
Yeah, and certainly, if you're looking at things like web pages and stuff, and I believe you can adjust the font, but I'm guessing that just isn't enough in some situations. In talking about Zooms, it's obvious to everyone listening to this that Zooms isn't the first magnification product for mobile phones, and I think even Torsten alluded to that earlier on. How would you say that Zooms differentiates itself from the competition?
Well, first of all, Zooms is a full screen magnification program, It utilizes a completely different approach of intercepting what it and intercepting the basically the screen, the video layers. What we do basically, it works on a very low system level and allows us to use the full screen without the restriction of things like that the focus must be visible, for example, the original focus, which is one problem that the competitive product that you're mentioning is suffering from, I think, when you read the comments. And it also allows us to do this most famous feature, which is the distributed views mode that I've described.
Remind us again, the distributed views, that was...
That was the mode where you can see the important information at once. The window title, the currently focused part, and also the two soft keys are displayed at once, just magnified by 2x.
Ah, okay. So you're not just focusing in on a particular part of the window. You're seeing the relevant information.
Yes, that's true. And of course, if you only have a split screen magnifier, then it doesn't have enough room to show this. We also work in any application. This is different, as far as I know. Mobile magnifier does not work in the in some applications, like the camera, for example. It cannot magnify the camera view. I've heard it also doesn't work in the web browser. And we also work there and also track the currently focused object in the web browser.
So what you're saying is that basically everywhere that Torx works, zooms will work?
Yes, even more than that. Because obviously if you have applications that Torx doesn't read well, you still have the ability to go around the screen and see these applications.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because obviously Torx isn't going to tell you what you've got in your viewfinder, yes, in your camera. Yeah. Torx isn't going to tell you what's in the viewfinder of your camera, for example.
Indeed. And also if Torx should have problems to track the focus, or if there are special objects and things like that, this is not a limitation for zooms, because zooms is really magnifying the graphics that are displayed on the screen.
Was there anything else on Zoom? Because I want to ask you a couple of things, Torsten, about Torx, and we'll certainly come back and we'll talk about, how people get zooms and how much it costs and where they get support and where they can read more and all that kind of stuff. We'll come back to all of that at the end, I think, with all the contact details and everything. But was there anything in terms of the functionality or the feature set of zooms that you wanted to draw attention to at this stage?
Well, we have covered most of it. One thing that perhaps is important as well is the auto zoom function that Zooms offers. This means instead of telling it you want a certain zooming factor, which still can mean that you see text in a different size, of course, we also have implemented an auto zoom function where you tell it how many lines of text you want to see on the display. And then it will magnify the text accordingly.
Okay.
No matter what size the text says, we found that a very nice feature.
And I'm sure I know the answer to this one. Presumably, Zooms will behave like Torx in the sense that, you can either have it start automatically with the phone, or you can assign, you can assign keys to switch it off and on and work with it in that way.
Yes, this has even become easier now. You can now turn off and on Torx and Zooms from within the settings screen. And
right.
The settings screen is even talking on most phones.
Right.
So
that's
even
good.
If Torx is turned off, the settings screen usually talks. So that allows you to turn Torx off and on easily from within the menus.
I know certainly some of the newer Series 60 phones will allow you to assign your soft keys to third party applications, and I know some people use those keys to quickly switch talks on if they want something and then switch it off.
Basically what they would do is they would assign these keys to the talk settings application.
Will Zooms work with the any of the communicators?
We will do this. We have now done it for Series 60, and we now have to port this over to the communicator side. So the next release of the communicator, which will be in by the end of April next year, will have the same level of features than the Series 60 version. Most likely except the web browsing stuff. That is still something we are considering. But it will have the Zooms magnification and the other Talks features integrated as well.
Okay, well, before we move on to talking a little bit about Talks, with Zooms, just talk us through compatibility. Presumably, does Zooms work on all the handsets that Talks works on? So the communicators and the Series 60 phones and so on?
Well, it does not support all of the phones, but most of them. So the phones it does not support are the very old Series 60 phones.
Right, so we're talking things like the 7650 and those.
Yes,
sort of
and the 3600 series. So those are the phones that are not supported due to some bugs in the system, basically, on these phones that prevents us from doing what we have to do to intercept the video.
Right, but with phones like the 6600, 6620, 30, and 80, those phones should work okay?
Yes, they work, and we also support the new N70 and N90, both with Talks and with Zooms now. So that's all.
Well, that brings us on nicely to talking about Talks development, because it's probably fair to say there's been one or two rumblings. People have sort of indicated that things have been a little bit quiet on the Talks front for a while. And I know you guys, when you bring out updates, they're usually pretty fabulous. But sometimes there can be a bit of a space between updates. And I guess that's part of the reason you've been working on Zooms, obviously, as well. But where's Talks up to in terms of its development? I guess the last big thing that we had to announce in terms of Talks was the support for the the WAP browser and Talks Premium now, with all the Siloc application, the five Siloc applications that become bundled with Talks for people buying Talks for the first time. So you mentioned their support for newer phones, the N70 and the N90. These are the new handsets from Nokia, and presumably there will be US equivalents to those fairly soon.
I don't think there are special phone models for the US from the N70 and N90.
Right.
So there may be something like the N70 with a different frequency band, but I don't know.
Because we've seen that in the past, haven't we, with Nokia phones, that they'll bring one model out in one part of the world, and then a similarly numbered model for. Yeah. I mean, I find their numbering scheme crazy. I mean, it's just impossible. I mean, you can't even tell by the number what is a Series 60 phone. You know, like the 6610, for example, isn't a Series 60 phone, but the 6600 and 6620 are. Yeah.
Yes. Well, there have also been some phones where Nokia did not use a different number, but just implemented a special model in the USA with the same number to make things even more complicated. So, for instance, the 7610 was available as a US model, as far as I know.
Right.
And so it didn't even have a different model number. So this is why I say I'm not sure about this N70 and N90.
Okay.
I haven't heard about anything. And
people should check with their dealers.
Yeah, usually it should work with T-Mobile, of course.
Yeah.
Because T-Mobile doesn't use the 850 megahertz frequency band.
Okay.
So that shouldn't be a problem to use these phones there, but I'm not sure when T-Mobile is going to introduce at least one of them.
So let's talk a little bit about talks, because I know a lot of us have got a vested interest in talks and want to continue to see it, you know, develop, and are quite happy to pay for upgrades and things. Presumably, it's been the same team, you and Marcus, that have been working on Zooms predominantly this year, rather than doing new things with talks. Or have you got a couple of cards up your sleeve there, or where's talks up to?
We have implemented significant changes in talks under the hood, partially to make it work with something like Zooms, of course, but partially also for general improvements of screen reading. We have also added a couple of features, not really, really dramatic feature enhancements, but quite nice to have, I think. So I can speak about that.
Absolutely, yes. Yes,
and,
please do.
And what we also have done is more development on the speech side. So we have now an interface that allows us to switch between different languages that you have licensed. And we also have a first version of ReSpeak Mobile that you can also use with talks, and so
these are gradual changes, and these are things that people are likely to see as kind of minor updates, and they're not going to be upgrades that people are going to have to buy. These are going to be like your 2.1, your 2.2 kind of updates.
The new version is called 2.5, and we call it 2.5 because there are significant changes under the hood. It also works with the Zooms. And so they both together form a nice pair, of course, which we now call the Nuance Accessibility Suite for handsets. And, the features that we have implemented are basically requests from users. And so what we have done there are things like you have the ability now to set a different speech rate for spelling text. So usually you want to have a much lower speech rate compared to the one that you use when normally you read the display. We have implemented the read out of passwords for those who cannot be overheard and feel a little insecure when entering a password. It's now possible to get the characters announced that you enter.
Right, and presumably that's turned off by default. You'd have to turn that on if you want to do password.
That's correct,
read.
Yes, of course. Yes. So it's we have implemented a timeout for the talks key that you can define. So this is mostly for situations where the talk key is pressed accidentally, but we also have implemented an extension to the talks mode that is, for instance, when you want to increase the loudness or you want to increase the volume, or you want to increase the magnification factor or decrease it. What you can do now, if you have set up this delayed of talks mode, basically, you can press the key and press it again and again and again and until you hear the right volume, and then you wait for the time that you have configured, and then the talks mode will be turned off. So basically you have two settings. One could be set perhaps more in a long way, like 10 seconds, which is the most you have for the talks key. And then you can set the other settings for something like maybe 1 second, because you want to be able to press keys rapidly, but then you want to be able to press other keys, standard phone keys, and not issue talks functions. So
right, so if you're adjusting the talks volume or the talks speed or something like that, at the moment you have to press talks, and I think 6, for example, to turn the volume up. And so now there's a way that you can have talks set so that you can press talks and then just press 6 until you get to the volume that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
One other I would mention is that numbers, you know, anything consisting of more than 4 digits, that can be read out digit by digit or as a whole number or in pairs of digits.
Okay.
In the old version, you only had it read out digit by digit, and we have received multiple requests to have it read out in different ways.
So this speaks to the concern that some users have had that, you know, perhaps in terms of flexibility and verbosity, the competition were perhaps running away with it a bit, and this certainly addresses a lot of those key points.
Yeah. We also have now even better support for the T9 dictionary. That was already part of the...
How can it get any better? I love your T9 support. Do you know, the amount of people that I've taught to do predictive text, you know, people have said to me, oh, no, I don't want to do predictive text. It's too hard. It can't do that. It's too difficult. And I've said, no, really, really, you just honestly, and you show people, and within about 5 minutes, once they get it, then it's like they never go back, you know?
Yeah. It's the same with me. I never thought I would use it, but then after trying it out with the new Talks versions, I was really convinced that it's a good way for most cases. So what we have done to even improve this a little bit is one thing. In the old version, T9 was always on, basically, and it was depending upon the setting that you have for reading letters and words. And now we made it 2 settings, so you can really decide if you maybe you only want to have words normally, but you want to have, of course, the change in the words read out when you use T9. Or maybe you don't want any announcement normally, but you still want T9 announcement. So you can now configure that according to your preferences.
Okay.
So that's what we have changed there. So, as I said, there are a couple of small changes. One maybe even more interesting thing is that is both true for Talks and Zooms. We are now offering SMS registration.
Right. So talk us through that. How does that work then?
Well, instead of sending your IMEI number to the dealer and getting a serial number, what the dealer would give you is a ticket, which is a 14-digit number. You type in that number when you do SMS registration, and it will activate the feature that you have purchased. So, for instance, let's assume you have a version of Talks, and you plan to upgrade to Talks and Zooms to use both products, you would simply get a ticket that activates Zooms. And that ticket would only work, of course, if you also have Talks already active. So it's quite nice, and usually the turnaround time is quite low. It's below 1 minute normally, so something like 30 seconds to 40 seconds. And SMS registration should work almost everywhere.
Right, and is there backup if for some reason that doesn't work, because, you know...
Then you still have the manual registration to fall back.
Right, you're not taking that away.
No, of course not. What we also have there is the SMS registration for demos, so you can request the demo once, of course, like usual. You will also be able, even if you already have a version of Talks, or even if you had a demo, an old demo in the past, you now will be able to request a new demo, because we want you to see all the bells and whistles, of course, of the Zooms application if you have the ability to use it.
So with 2.5, what you're saying to people is that, look, if you've had a 30-day demo of Talks in the past, when 2.5 is available, you can get another 30 days if that's something that people,
yes,
if people want to give it another go.
Yeah, and you can even use this demo. If you had a full version of Talks, you can request a demo. And afterwards, you can do a restore license, which is another point that we can do with this SMS registration. And restore license then will get you back to the old license of Torx. And that's brilliant. That also brings me to one thing I should mention, which is the upgrade policy that we have. Any Torx user who has purchased a premium edition, which means you have purchased it for version 2 from an accessibility dealer, does get the free upgrade to version 2.5. So there's nothing you have to do. You just have to install it over the old version.
Okay.
And those who have an older version, like version 1.4, and have registered that one, or have purchased Torx from a network provider and thus have in many cases at least, have a standard edition only, they will not be able to upgrade for free and have to purchase Torx for the upgrade price.
Okay, let's go to Robert. Robert, can you just talk us through the pricing in North America? Tell us the price for a new user wanting to buy the product for the first time, and then talk us through the various upgrade permutations and et cetera.
Sure. So the recommended retail price for the new premium edition version 2.5 of Torx is $240. For Zooms, it's $216. You can have a combination of those two products, the premium edition and Nuance Zooms, for $360. And as Torsten was mentioning, the upgrade from Torx, 2.1 to 2.5 is free. If you need to go from upgrade from the standard edition to Torx and Zooms together, it's $168 upgrade. So there's a combination depending on the scenario that
right.
you're in
right.
US dollars.
And people should check, of course, with their dealers if they're not sure, how to find out their version number and that kind of thing. But the standalone price for Zooms, you said it was $216?
The standalone price for Zooms is $216 exactly.
Okay.
Basically
all right.
derived from the euro prices, which is 180 euros.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, that seems to make sense. And so 2.5 of Torx and Zooms are available when exactly, gentlemen?
Well, we have released them now. Yesterday we had the official launch. It will now not take long, so until the weekend you should already have it on the web pages. So when you broadcast this, you should have it on our web page already. And and of course the dealers must get the start to distribute the product, so they'll take a little bit of time to get their contracts upgraded so they can also sell Zooms and have that pricing in there and so on and so on. So it's all settled, it's available, it's nothing that you have to wait for.
Okay, and does the cross-grade policy remain the same? Recently I changed phones and I had to purchase a cross-grade
yes.
for Torx, and so that remains the same.
That remains, yeah. We only have one price for that, which is still the same as with Torx alone. So it doesn't matter what you have, if you have Torx and Zooms, if you have Zooms, or if you have Torx, if you want to cross-upgrade to a new phone, then you pay that price.
Right, so that's just taking your license onto a new
yeah,
handset, basically.
Taking care of the additional support that the dealer may have.
That's right, yeah. And for people wanting to try the software, perhaps people have sat listening to this and they haven't tried Torx or they haven't tried Zooms. You have a couple of options in terms of demos. People can run Torx certainly for a 10-minute period, and then if they restart the handset, then they can use it for another 10 minutes. And I know certainly there are some people that are content doing that. But then also, as you mentioned earlier, there's a 30-day trial, which is a free trial that people can get, and they get a code that will last them for 30 days. Now, is that the same for Zooms?
If you get the demo, it will automatically also activate Zooms. And if you have the 10 minutes demo running, it will also work with Zooms. So you can really get the full impression of the software that you are going to get if you buy the full version. You will also notice in the when you open the Talk Settings application and Zooms is activated, you will have the front or the first page you land on basically will be the Zooms, the magnification settings dialog. And then when you go right, you have the speech dialog, you have the advanced and the braille dialog depending on the options that you have. But when you only have Zooms, for example, then all Talks-related dialogs will disappear. If you have Talks only, then the Zooms dialog will disappear and so on. So you really only have the settings that you can use and don't get confused and by the other ones.
Okay, so that's the Nuance accessibility suite for handsets, and that's available now from the usual places. And people wanting to find out more, or wanting to perhaps get a demo, or just talk to somebody and ask their own questions, then how should they proceed?
Well, for North America, well, first of all, the best source to go to start with is nuance.com and then /talks. That's nuance.com/talks.
And it's also nuance.com/zooms, of course. So we have the same page for Zooms.
And there you'll find links to the dealers. The two dealers primary in North America, the contacts are VisionQ, and you can go to their website at visionq.com or BeyondSight, and they're beyondsight.com.
Was there anything about either product that you wanted to mention or about the combined product?
Yeah, there's only one thing that I would like to add. It's maybe not so interesting for those who listen to SCB Radio, but maybe you know a person who's deafblind. What we have done is we now make Braille available, Braille I.O. with the supported Bluetooth Braille devices, is now available when you start the phone. So that means you can, well, unfortunately you cannot enter the PIN code because at that point the Bluetooth connection doesn't work. But when you come to the main phone screen or when you come to the menu, your Braille display would work immediately if you have set that on. So I think that's an important feature, especially for the deafblind, maybe also for those who take Talks as a substitution for a Braille note-taker combined with one of the supported Braille devices. We have also increased support of by basically making available a Braille SDK to manufacturers, so any manufacturer can get that. It's completely free. And so far, of course, Handytech, who have always been with us, are using this, but also the company Baum have used this to implement their Braille driver for Talks.
And, of course, that'll presumably work with the HumanWare branded version of that Bluetooth display, the Braillians.
Well, I don't know if Baum will make it work with that version, but I think if someone likes to have a HumanWare Braille device, then you should go to HumanWare and ask for a Talksable device.
There you go. So if you can't get your Braillians working with Talks, then certainly give New Zealand a call and get HumanWare on the case. I know people are very fond of this.
The Braillino already works, of course, from Handytech, and the other Bluetooth Braille devices of Handytech that support Braille input also work. The Pronto works from Baum, and I think also other devices. And so I think really the best way is to go after HumanWare, because so far we don't have a driver for them. So if they notice that there's serious interest in this, I'm sure they will be happy to implement that. At the end, it helps them to sell the real expensive parts they want to sell. So
it's still fair to say, I think, that it's still a limited number of high-end phones that will work with some of this access software. It's really the Series 60 phones, predominantly phones from Nokia. Is there any progress in that area? Any news in that area at all? Is there any hope for, you know, people who are perhaps holding out for, perhaps a more affordable phone?
Well, what we see is a development that occurs. That is, Nokia is now also releasing a few, not too many, lower price phones based on Symbian Series 60. You know, in the 3000 series, they have a lower price, of course, and more in the, you know, 300 to 400 euro range, so which is already significantly lower than what you get on, you know, prices like this for the 6680 or 6681 or 6682 and phones like that, or
yeah,
more in the 500 to even 600 euro range.
Yeah, I would just comment, Dave, that you can sometimes find deals here in the U.S. where even the 3650 is given away as a free phone along with a service contract.
In the U.K. at least, I'm aware that certainly some of the Symbian Series 60 phones are available on contract with very little initial cost, that essentially you might pay a bit more per month over a year or two to subsidize the cost of the handset. So that's one way that people can buy into Series 60 without that high cost, that initial cost. Can you do that in the U.S., Robert?
Yes, we're seeing that certainly, you know, with, for example, the release of the 6681 phone, that's going to be the new high-end Symbian phone, so the other ones are going to be, I think you're going to see drop in prices. We've seen some even Symbian phones given away for free, so, you know, there's an evolution, obviously, and I think that that now for those users who have been standing on, you know, waiting for this, I think there's a new opportunity now because there's lower priced phones coming out and even free phones with plans.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I jumped too soon, and I when the 6630 came along, I went for that, and I really wish I'd hung on for the 6680. And of course, I guess the 6681 will be the US equivalent to that.
Not exactly. The 6680 is a UMTS phone, and the 6681, which is the European version and also used by T-Mobile in the USA, is the non-UMTS version of the 6680. And also the 6682, which is sold by Singular in the USA. That's basically the US version of the 6681.
It's a minefield, isn't it? So people really should check the list of supported phones and maybe even print that out and take it along to their, you know, wherever they buy their mobile phone from, and make sure that if they're, you know, if they're going out and they're buying a phone specifically to use, you know, this kind of software, whether it be Talks or Zooms or anything else, then to make sure that they're getting, you know, you hear stories about people that have gone and they've spent a lot of money on the phone and they think it's the right one and it's not, and you know, it's tragic, really.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's why that nuance.com/talks is an important site, because people can see, you know, can get the list of supported phones right there.
Absolutely.
We will also put in some information on the Zooms, of course, because when you want to use Zooms, obviously cannot use it on the older phones. That's one thing, and it's similar with RealSpeak, for example, that only works really well on phones with faster processors like the 6630 and upward.
Okay, and I usually like to do this towards the end of these sorts of conversations. In the long term, where do you think we're headed? What sorts of things do you think we'll be talking about a year from now? We talked the other day, and you indicated to me some of the challenges with the new versions of Symbian. For the technically minded amongst our listeners, do you want to just sort of highlight those?
Yes, of course, we are looking at the upcoming Symbian phones for next year, the Symbian version 9 phones. Especially you have these very nice models called the Enterprise series. They come with a variety of push email clients, which is very nice, like BlackBerry, for example. And so it will be finally possible to use the BlackBerry service with Talks, which I think is really a very nice addition. There also come the new multimedia phones like the N Series 91 that will be equipped with, a 4 GB hard disk. So a lot of very nice phones are coming out, but it will not be easy to integrate them because this version is quite different from current Symbian versions, and of course we work on that. And
because a lot of that stuff's very desirable. I know a lot of people have mentioned that they're really looking forward to the N91. There's almost an assumption there that talks will work with it, and what you're telling us is that people can't assume that. They can't just expect that it's going to work because there are new challenges there.
We can tell you that the current version will certainly not work with it because what Symbian 9 also has is it has a higher security measure. And so most likely, I mean, we still have to figure that out in detail, but most likely only signed applications will work. And we also have to do some significant internal changes to make Torx work on this system. By the way, one thing, when speaking about signed applications, we already do get Symbian signed and Vodafone ready for the current version of Torx. So it will not be on the web immediately, but a few weeks later. That means when you install Torx, you will not get this annoying message telling you that this is insecure to install. And do you really want to continue? And it also may give our customers a little more security because what they know is that it has been tested, you know, on these phones by an independent test team, basically, and for working together with the other applications on the phone. And so that's something that's not really new. We have also done it with the recent release of Torx, with the 2.01 release, but haven't published it really very intensively. You can download the signed version from our website.
Right.
If you look for it, but we haven't published it really. We haven't done much about that.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Robert, did you have anything else that you wanted to add? We'll wrap up and get some telephone numbers and things in a moment.
Yeah, no, I would just want to say thanks to you and all the users out there who are really Torx evangelists as I travel and meet people. There's lots of people who are really doing the marketing for us on Torx, and it's really great to have that happen among the community, because I'd like to see it develop a lot further.
The team that works on Torx, is it still just yourself and Marcus Torsten? I guess there was perhaps...
No, we have expanded in several directions, so we have more development resources. We also have a really large development team concentrating on speech development, you know, doing the RealSpeak port to the mobile phones. We have a very good document writer now. You will see that the Torx manual has been completely revised, and I think it's much more readable, especially also for those who are not so, phone gurus or techies. And we also have a great marketing team and behind us who have done really a tremendous job in getting the launch done. They have prepared a lot of material for our dealers and will also continue to do a lot of things for us when it comes to things like trade shows and so on, preparing material. And... well, and last but not least, we have the sales team. So the longer we stay with the company, we see that it really has some effects, and we learned how to work with each other more efficiently and get a lot of things done. So it's really very great.
Right. So users really just need to be a little bit patient, and we'll see the benefits of the Scansoft acquisition or Nuance as it is now of Bugcom. That will eventually filter through to the product itself, and people will start to see the benefits of that over the next little while.
Yeah, we also have a good alpha test team now, I think, so you also see a lot of effects in talks caused by their thorough testing. And, so I think lots of things are happening there.
Right. And as far as beta testing goes, you mentioned alpha testing, but as far as beta testing goes, will that remain public, or how does that work?
Well, we will decide that on a case-by-case, because with the current release, we have decided not to do it. We have done extensive alpha and beta testing among our test users, you know, some alpha test users, and also among our dealers, of course. But we didn't want to go public with the Zoom's magnification, because that's really a great step forward compared to our competitive product. So we just wanted to do it in the background. And the features that we have added to Talks by its own were not so significant that we thought we must have a public beta to make people aware of that. But we really will decide on a case-by-case way if we want to do this in the future.
Okay. And people with, feature requests, or people who think they might have found a bug or that kind of thing, where's the best place for those sorts of reports to be sent?
Well, the best way to send these things is really the Talks mailing list. Marcus and I are seldom reading it personally, but we have a couple of members of our alpha team, and we have specifically assigned a person now who in this alpha test team who will monitor everything and ensure that nothing gets lost, basically. So it's
okay, and then just to clarify, so the people are sure that they're posting to the right list, do you have the details of that list to hand, or do you have that, Robert?
Well, you can look it up on the internet. There's a website that is called talksusers.com.
Right, and people should go there and join the main talksusers list.
Yes, the talksusers list.
Right, and things that get posted on there will feedback, and if people have suggestions.
Yes, you will get a number of our dealers are on that list, so they give very good feedback, and we also have the alpha testers there. The owner of the server where the talksusers list is run, the talksusers.com server, is also a very powerful, power user of Talks. So usually you get really almost anything answered there. And if there are feature requests, for example, that or things that do not get answered, they usually get now back to us and make sure that everybody is covered there.
Right. So the message from you guys is that you're still here, you're still listening, but obviously you're focusing on development, and people should continue to send their feedback in, and it will reach you eventually.
Exactly.
Excellent stuff. Okay. And Robert, let's say thank you to you for joining us all the way from upstate New York, and thanks to you, Torsten, for joining us this afternoon. And perhaps we'll finish with some contact details for people listening in North America.
Vision Q, you can call them directly at 888-318-2582. I'll repeat that. It's 888-318-2582. That's a dealer for Talks. It's VisionQ. Or you can reach them at VisionQ, that's VisionCue.com. Another dealer is Beyond Sight, and you can reach them by phone at 303-795-6455. I'll repeat that, 303-795-6455, or www.beyondsight.com.
Okay, and of course, there are dealers all around the world, and they are listed on the nuance.com /talks website. On behalf of everyone listening to ACB Radio and listening to Main Menu, thanks very much to you, Torsten Brand in Germany, and thanks very much to you, Robert Rieger. There we go. Main Menu. got there in the end, in upstate New York. Thanks very much.
Hello and welcome to this demonstration of the Triumphonic MPAC or Mobile Pack. The MPAC is a personal digital assistant that combines several pieces of existing technology. It's essentially a bundle package. The heart of the beast, if you will, is called Mobile Speak for Pocket PC. This is the screen reading software that allows your PDA to talk. In its current form, the MPAC bundles the Hewlett Packard iPack PDA. Of course, this runs on Pocket PC 2003. MobileSpeak also does support Pocket PC 2005. This development in the last week or so. However, we are not shipping that version at this time. You do have the option to update on your own. Personally, I'm very happy with the 2003 second edition version of Pocket PC, and that's what I'll be showing today. So, you've got your PDA. You've got, as part of the bundle, a 1 gig SD card, which is a pretty fair amount of memory, a Bluetooth foldable keyboard that also comes with a package. So that's the whole package. The PDA itself, the foldable keyboard, and the SD card. And, of course, we've got some options above and beyond that, such as a Bluetooth stereo headphones for an excellent music listening experience. Other third-party software applications that you can install, either by ordering it through Triumph Technology or on your own at such websites as handango.com. Before we get started with the actual demonstration, let's go ahead and take a look at the physical layout of the MPAC. I'm holding in my hand the PDA itself, and it is about the size of a 3x5 index card and about an inch deep. So you can imagine that it's very small, certainly small enough to fit in most purses. If you got big pants pockets, it'll fit there, and I actually keep it in the breast pocket of my leather jacket here in the frozen tundra of Minnesota. So it's very easy to cart around. You don't always need to carry the foldable keyboard along with you. Perhaps you have your MPAC in your breast pocket like I do, and your foldable keyboard at your disposal in your briefcase. The fact is, if it comes down to getting telephone numbers or calendar appointments, things like that, you don't need the keyboard itself. Of course, the only time you ever really need the keyboard is for the input of data, especially for writing notes in a lecture or meeting situation, something like that. Now, getting back to the PDA itself, it's got a flip-up lid, which can be removed. I think I'll do that right now. Just put that on the desk in front of me. So I'm now holding the PDA in my hand with the screen facing me, and the screen takes probably, I would say, about 3/4 of the front of the unit. Down below the screen, it's actually a touch screen, which we'll find out later is fairly easy to use. We've got 9 buttons smack dab in the middle down along the bottom of the PDA. We have our directional keys, left, right, up and down, with the enter key in the middle of those. On either side of our somewhat convex directional keys, we've got keys that are more flush to the unit, 2 on either side of our directional keys, otherwise known as hardware keys 1 through 4. The primary function for these keys are as follows, from left to right: Tab, Alt, Control, and Shift keys. And these keys are used as modifier keys, very much the same way they would be used in, say, the Windows environment as modifier keys. And, in fact, many of the keystrokes are the same as you would experience in the Windows environment. Well, because it is Windows CE, after all, with the suite of Pocket PC applications installed. Moving up toward the upper left of the unit, we've got one other button, which is somewhat flush but has definite outline there, and that is hardware key number 5. By default, that is assigned to the record function. So if you're in a meeting or a lecture, once again, and you don't want to take notes, you just want to record it, that is an option, as well as the ability, of course, to take quick voice notes on the go. So you're out and about, You don't want to mess with pulling out the Bluetooth keyboard, or you don't want to try to input the data right there on the spot. You just want to get the information and go. Simply press that button. Boom, you're recording. You'd say the person's name and their telephone number, whatever other information you need to get, and then you're done. You can go and type that information in later. In the upper left back corner of the unit, again, the unit's still facing me, we have a standard headphone jack. Incidentally, a Bluetooth headphone, wireless headphone, is also an option that you can get with your mobile pack. To the right of that headphone jack, we have a slot for a compact flash card. And of course, for those of you who may be familiar with the compact flash cards, they are about 1.5 inches by 1.5 inches or so. So they're very small, and these days you can get them as large as 4 gig. I've yet to try a 4 gig compact flash card in an HP iPack, but I haven't heard that it doesn't work. I do know that my 1 gig compact flash card does work in this unit. So the one thing we have is expandability where memory is concerned. In fact, in front of the compact flash slot, we've got another slot where you would keep your SD card. In fact, that is where your 1 gig SD card will already be installed when you purchase your unit from Triumph Technology, along with the Mobile Speak for Pocket PC software and the necessary drivers for the keyboard of your choice. We currently support two of them. One would be the HP foldable keyboard, which I will be demonstrating here. And the other one would be the Think Outside Stowaway keyboard. Okay, so finally, if I turn the unit around, we have a very easy-to-access battery compartment. It is a lithium-ion battery, and you could also order an extra of those from us as well if you choose to. So the battery is field replaceable. When you receive your unit, it will be configured for optimal battery usage. So all the power settings, the backlight settings have been set to optimize use of this device by a person who is blind and really help to save the battery. Things like the compact flash card, the SD card, the Wi-Fi, and Bluetooth are all going to drain batteries. So perhaps it isn't a bad idea to have an extra battery on hand. Now, when you receive your MPAC, the power settings and the other features that drain the battery, such as the backlight, which by default at the factory is going to be turned all the way up because sighted people like to have the benefit of a good backlight on their PDA, but as a blind person, I don't need it, so I just turn it off. I actually set that all the way to zero. The power options are set so that after 10 seconds of inactivity, the unit is going to go into a standby mode. So we're going to try to minimize the battery usage that way. Also, when you turn Bluetooth on to use your foldable keyboard or hi-fi wireless Bluetooth headphones that I adore, those are going to take battery life as well. So it really depends on what you do with it. Scanning for a wireless network, constantly having your Wi-Fi turned on to scan for wireless networks, that's also going to drain battery, as is inserting an extra compact flash card for memory. You know, all these things take battery life, but under normal circumstances, even with the extra compact flash card, your Bluetooth turned on, you should be able to get a full day of use out of the unit before having to either place the unit in its cradle to charge or plug it into the USB port, depending on what PDA you happen to be using. You're going to want to do this for a couple of reasons anyways. I mean, of course, the obvious reason would be to charge the battery, and the other reason that may not be so obvious is to synchronize your data to make sure that the calendar appointments, the contacts that you may have added since you've had your unit plugged in or placed in its cradle have been updated via ActiveSync. So you can synchronize your contacts, your calendar appointments, files. And there's also a news service called AvantGo that works quite well with mobile speak on this Pocket PC as well. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into some of the functionality of the unit. Before we do, however, let me take this time to point out that this is a demonstration of mobile speak. It's really not intended as a tutorial. I think the Code Factory, the manufacturers of mobile speak, do an extraordinary job of documenting the functionality of their product, and it is strongly recommended that before endeavoring into the world of mobile speak that you do read the documentation from cover to cover. And I know that everybody says you should read the manual, but this is a situation where you would be doing yourself a huge favor and really cutting down on the learning curve significantly by doing so. And how do you think I learned that lesson? Oh, yeah, and one more thing. In the upper right back corner of the unit, we've got a compartment for a stylist. And it is about just almost as long as the unit itself, and it just snaps right into its compartment. Now, using the stylus to input data, it takes a little bit of practice, but it's not unsurmountable. I mean, if you really want to quickly input data, then by all means use your Bluetooth keyboard. But let's say you're out and about and you've got your mobile pack with you because you're listening to music or audio book or whatever the case may be, or you just want it around to refer to calendar appointments and addresses and things like that. Well, if you find yourself in a pinch, the stylus is going to allow you to actually input data as well. By default, MobileSpeak comes with what are known as four virtual keys. Going clockwise from the upper left-hand corner to the upper right-hand corner of the screen, down to the bottom right-hand corner, and finally to the bottom left-hand corner, we've got virtual keys number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And by tapping on these keys, you can either do a single tap, a double tap, or a long tap. And a long tap would be holding your stylus or your fingernail on the screen in one of those regions for more than a second. So we've got... what's 3 times 4? 12 choices right off the bat for activating these hot spots that we're calling virtual keys on the screen. And, of course, they're big. So the chances of you mistyping a letter on a computer keyboard are probably greater than actually mistapping a command on the screen. So let me go ahead and demonstrate by pressing the virtual key number 1 here. Oh, I've been inactive for more than 10 seconds, so it doesn't say anything. I'm going to have to press my tab key down in the lower left-hand corner of the unit. And you hear very faintly start. Now, I've got my volume set fairly low, but I can also turn up the volume here. And I'm going to actually plug this into my mixing board so you can hear a truer representation of what it would sound like if you were to plug your headphones into it. So, but for now, I'm going to right arrow. I hear that ActiveSync is not connected. And I've got the volume option. I'm just going to press the center key and those five-way directional keys that I mentioned earlier, which is the enter key. So I hear 0 minimum, 5 is maximum, and currently the position is set for 3. Well, I go ahead and arrow here. I arrow to the right and this is 2. I arrow to the left. I know you can hardly hear it. There's 4,
five.
And there's 5. So you can get, the quality's not that great out of the speaker, but if you're taking notes or getting information, it's certainly good enough. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to go ahead and turn it back to 3. And I am going to reach over and plug in a cable that's going right into my mixer. And I'll reach over and turn up the slider that corresponds with that cable. And now we've got
2.
Okay.
3.
Okay, so we're plugged into the mixer now, and this is the way we're going to do the rest of the presentation. So even though the presentation is in mono, the stereo output of this unit, listening to music, is truly a pleasurable experience. Okay, so remember, I tapped virtual key number 1. To go to the start menu. So let me do that again.
Start.
In fact, why don't I just reach over to my mixer and kick the volume a little bit there. That should be better. Okay, so start is what is spoken when I press virtual key number 1. And if I press it again...
Leaving taskbar.
So remember, the taskbar is where I could check and see if ActiveSync was connected, what the time was, that kind of thing. Now, if I double tap virtual key number 1...
Today.
I get directly into the start menu, and the first choice within the start menu is today. I'll just go ahead and give you a brief tour of the start menu just by down arrowing here.
Calendar, contacts, Internet Explorer, iPad Wireless, messaging, MobileSpeak Pocket,
Audible player. Active sync.
And for any of these, I could just press the enter key and it would activate that program.
Windows Media. Foldable keyboard. MSN Messenger. Programs.
And if I press enter on programs, it would get me into the programs menu where other programs live.
Settings. Today.
And we're back to today. So let me go ahead and press enter on today. And I placed into the today screen, even though it says nothing. But if I down arrow.
Tuesday, November 29th, 2005.
So we're recording this on Tuesday, November 29th, 2005.
Owner Colin Earl Harrison, open parenthesis 612, close parenthesis 414-7999.
So I've got the owner information here in case I lose it and somebody is honest enough to return it to me. Down arrow again.
Outlook e-mail colon 3 unread.
I've got 3 unread messages.
First time client visit with Kelly, 9:00 a.m.-11:00 a.m. open parenthesis client's home close parenthesis training with 12:45 p.m.-2:15 p.m. open parenthesis VLRM PLS close parenthesis.
Okay, and I've got a couple different appointments listed here right on my today screen. So I could, if I wanted to know what I had going on today, one of the ways I could do this is just simply by going to my today screen.
Mobile Speak Pocket colon running.
And, of course, Mobile Speak Pocket is running, it says. I don't know why that would be an option since if it weren't running, I couldn't use it. But it is. And, in fact, I could go and change the settings on my today screen so if I didn't want that last, any of these things for that matter, to show up on my today screen, I could just get rid of it. Okay, so as you heard in the start menus, we've got many, many choices. And one of the things I really, really like about the Pocket PC environment is the ability to install and use third-party applications. I've got a couple really good ones on this device. By third-party applications, I mean things that anybody can purchase, download, and install, and run on their Pocket PC. One of the things that I've got is Audible, as you heard, Audible Player. AudiblePlayer.com is a service that allows you to download countless hours of audio content. And, you know, you download them, you listen to them, and you get rid of them off of your SD card or your compact flash card. Another third-party application that I've got installed on this unit is a program called Microsoft Voice Command. And this is yet another add-on feature that you can purchase and install on your own, or if you want us to do it for you, we're certainly happy to do that as well. Now, I've got Voice Command assigned to hardware key number 5, which is the one that's along the upper left side near the top of the unit, and that button's usually, by default, dedicated to the record feature. So if I need to use the record feature and Voice Command, I'll need to assign another key, but for me, Voice Command is far more useful than the record feature, so I put it in the most convenient place that, you know, I felt it belonged. And of course, a person can choose to assign it to whatever button they want to, but in this case, again, it's button 5. And Voice Command is a voice recognition software program that is very limited in what it can do, but is very functional in what it can do. At the same time, it's no naturally speaking or anything like that, because remember, we're just dealing with a PDA here. We're not talking about a full-blown 3 gigahertz Pentium 4 processor or anything like that. So why don't I go ahead and show you what we can do with Voice Command. So I'll press hardware key number 5. What can I say?
Choose a help topic, contacts, media, calendar, start menu, or general.
Media.
Media. Say, play media, pause, stop, play, what track is this, next, previous, shuffle on, or shuffle off.
So that little beep that we just heard is the indication that we've lost our window to say anything. And in order to give a command, we're going to have to press hardware key number 5 again. So we've heard we've got lots of choices here. And let's just say I want to listen to a mix of music. I happen to have a fair amount of music on this little SD card. And I'm just going to say, play media.
What do you want to play? Album, artist, genre, or everything?
Genre.
Which genre? Alternative. Rock. Blues. Classic rock. Genre. Gospel and religious. Jazz. Metal. Other. Pop. Rock. Soundtrack. Or Yule.
Jazz.
Jazz.
Ah, I remember the first time I used voice command. It was a fabulous experience. And I believe it was during my demo of the Triumphonic Mobile Pack.
Isn't it romantic?
Yeah. All right. Enough of this. Wasting your time and mine. Stop.
Stopped.
Okay. So you can hear you've got some pretty good flexibility within Media Player here. Let's say I want to play, well, first of all, let's turn Shuffle on. Shuffle on.
Shuffle on.
Okay. And let's say we want to just chill and play everything in our library, and I've got quite the eclectic library. So I'll just go ahead and say, play everything.
Everything.
Okay, I hear some percussion coming up in the background there. And if it's a song that I don't particularly care for, I can just press this key again. Next track.
Next track.
Oh, heard that before. Next track.
Next track.
Remember, we're in shuffle mode. Yeah!
Yeah, baby!
Stop. Okay. So that's voice command in Windows Media Player. So let's say I'm listening along and the phone rings and somebody calls me up and says, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? I can say, I don't know, what are my appointments for tomorrow?
Tomorrow, no items.
Oh, I do too, you liar. I just haven't put it in my calendar, but I guess it doesn't know that. Okay, then what's my next appointment? What's my next appointment?
At 12:45 p.m., training with location.
I hear I've got a training session and where that training session is to be held. And that's today, actually. So I better hurry up. Let's say that that same person wants to know, do you have so-and-so's telephone number for our purposes? I will use myself. Show Earl Harrison.
Contacts window list, open parenthesis 651, close parenthesis 296-9718, work tel.
Okay, so if I wanted to get more information besides my work telephone number, I would just press down the enter
open
key.
Open parenthesis 651, close parenthesis 296-9718, work tel.
So as you can hear, voice command provides a very quick and efficient way of accessing information on your PDA. And of course, this is command and control only. Now let's go ahead and take a look at another way of inputting information. Of course, I mentioned earlier the foldable Bluetooth keyboard that comes along with the Triumph Mobile Pack. If you don't happen to have the keyboard with you at the time, it's still possible to input data. And I'm going to go ahead and get into a Microsoft Word document. So I'll go ahead and press hardware key number 5 and say, go to Pocket Word.
Pocket Word window list, Bluetooth phone manager, 11/27/05/142B.
I hear that I'm placed in a list of files, and I can, of course, down arrow to a Word document, press enter on it. I'd come right into the edit area of Pocket Word. But I'm going to start a new document by tapping the virtual key number 2.
New.
And the first choice that we have is new. If I right arrow,
tools.
I hear I've got a menu option for tools.
New.
And new. That's it. So I'll press the enter key.
Pocket Word window, rich text editor.
And I'm placed into a rich text editor. Now, remember, I mentioned that all the virtual keys have a tap, a double tap, or long tap function. The long tap function for virtual key number 1 in the upper left-hand corner of our screen is to turn on what's known as...
Touch virtual keyboard on.
Touch virtual keyboard. Actually, it'll go to the last type of input method that you chose. In this case, it's the virtual keyboard. There's also a keyboard simulator feature that I'll show you here in a couple minutes. I'm not very good at this yet, but I can see where I could be if I had more practice. And as I scroll along with my stylus, or I could even use my fingernail, let me just go ahead and go to this.
A-W-E-R.
It's just in the same configuration that you would have with a regular QWERTY keyboard. It's just that same layout. I just turned the unit sideways, so now the screen is the long way horizontally oriented. And I have the stylus just resting on the screen, and when I find the letter that I want, I lift up on the stylus, and it drops it into the edit field. So I have a T. I'll go ahead and go to H, where I think it is.
Y. H.
There it is. Go to I.
U. K. I.
There's I. Drop it in. And S.
F. D. S.
Drop it in. Go to space.
Space.
Which is in the lower left-hand corner. And I'll say is.
J. K. J. H. J. K. I.
Where are
K.
you?
K.
I haven't lifted up the stylus yet. I'm still looking for the I.
I.
There it is. Go to S.
S.
There's S.
E.
S. I got it the first time. Lift up. Okay. Now, I'll turn off the virtual keyboard by just pressing the Alt key here.
Yep, virtual keyboard off.
Okay, so let's see what I've got here.
This is.
Okay, so it's not the quickest way to input text, but if you're just taking a name or a telephone number or something like that, it's certainly doable. It does take a fair amount of practice. Now, there is another method of inputting text, and that is what's called the keyboard simulator. This would probably come in handy for those of us who may have some dexterity limitations as well. And the way you activate that is by pressing the control key.
Control.
Followed by long tap 1.
Keyboard simulator on.
Okay, so we hear that the keyboard simulator is now on. Now, the way this works is that now instead of running my stylus along the screen, I've got, our four-way directional keyboard. If I press the up arrow,
A.
We've got the alphabet.
B, C, D, E, F, A.
And it wraps around.
B,
it goes all
C,
the way up
D,
to
E, F.
F. And then if I press my right arrow,
G.
We hear we've got more of
H,
the alphabet.
I, J, K, L, G.
Okay, it starts on G, goes to L.
M, N, N, L, O, B.
N tilde in there.
U, R, D.
Okay, and if I left arrow.
U, V. W, X, Y, Z.
Here we have the entire alphabet
E.
at our disposal. Now, if I press the shift key,
uppercase,
I can switch between uppercase,
lowercase,
and lowercase. If I press the control key,
numbers,
I can switch to a numeric keypad. So now we have
1.
When I press the up arrow,
2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, plus,
okay,
dash. Equal.
Okay, so I've got all those choices from the numeric keypad, and all I'm doing is pressing the control key.
Symbols.
And there's symbols.
A acute. A graph. A circumflex.
All these symbols.
A umlaut.
A umlaut.
E acute. I acute.
Okay, so all the symbols that you'd probably need.
Characters.
And we're back to characters again. All again, I'm doing is cycling between those different keyboards by pressing the control key. Now to turn off simulator mode.
Cursors.
I pressed the tab key, or hardware key number 1, and...
Characters.
It toggles me between characters.
Cursors.
Cursors. In order to turn off this mode, this keyboard simulator mode, by first pressing the tab key until you hear cursors, and then you press the Alt key.
Keyboard simulator off.
And I've now turned my keyboard simulator off. I happen to prefer... by default, I happen to prefer the touch virtual keyboard, so I'll press Control.
Control.
And hold down that virtual key number 1, long tap.
Touch virtual keyboard on.
And it's on. Okay. Let's take a look at how the Bluetooth keyboard works real quick here. The foldable Bluetooth keyboard.
Touch virtual keyboard off.
I simply press Alt key to turn off the touch virtual keyboard, and I'm going to reach over here into my briefcase and pull out my foldable Bluetooth keyboard. Okay. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to press the button in the upper right-hand corner of this keyboard. This keyboard, in its collapsed state, it just folds and unfolds. It's in two pieces, essentially. It's a little bit bigger, probably around an inch bigger. If you were to hold the iPack in the center of it when it's closed, it's about an inch bigger on all sides of the iPack. That's, you know, put it in perspective here. When you open it up, of course, it's twice that size. Now, I've got Bluetooth enabled on the PDA, so it should really just be a matter of turning the foldable keyboard on. And I'll go ahead and do that via voice command, actually, here. Go to foldable keyboard.
Foldable keyboard window, dash rate of delay until repeat, long, dash key repeat rate, slow, test here, colon, editor.
Okay, so I'm dropped into the foldable keyboard dialog, and I'll just go ahead and tab through the area.
Tab, settings.
Until I hear...
Enable keyboard checkbox not checked.
Enable keyboard, and I hear that it's not checked. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and press the enter key on this item.
Checked. Test here, colon, editor.
And I'm going to go ahead and...
Dialog window, Bluetooth keyboard inquiry, cancel button.
And it says Bluetooth keyboard inquiry.
Cancel button.
And
foldable keyboard window, dash rate of delay until repeat, long, dash key repeat rate, slow, test here, colon, editor.
I didn't want to be rude and interrupt it like it's been interrupting me, but I pressed the key in the upper right-hand corner during that whole process there after I checked the enable keyboard checkbox, and now I should have keyboard. So I'll press the escape key to get out of this dialog, and I mean the escape key in the upper left-hand corner of my foldable keyboard.
Pocket Word window, rich text editor.
And I hear that I'm in my rich text editor, my Pocket Word window. So now I'm going to go ahead and put down my PDA. And now I'm in a position to really type in the fashion that I am accustomed. So I'll just go ahead and type, this is a demonstration. I've got keyboard echo turned off. You can set it to Word or characters. So this is a demonstration how to use the foldable keyboard. And I'm really whacking on these keys here so you can hear them. I don't know why, but I am. With Pocket Word. Okay, and here's what I've got.
This is a demonstration of how to use...
Just moving by line here.
The foldable keyboard with Pocket Word.
So here's a situation where it's not either or.
Today.
Oop, I accidentally pressed the start button on the keyboard. And actually, since I'm in here, why don't I go ahead and show you, demonstrate, that using my Bluetooth foldable keyboard...
Calendar.
I'm able to access...
Contacts.
All of the same items...
Internet Explorer.
Rather, all of the same programs...
iPad Wireless.
...that I was able to access when using the up and down arrow keys...
Messaging.
...on the PDA itself.
Mobile Speak Pocket.
If you do download from triumphonic.com a copy of Mobile Speak for Pocket PC and you have questions, you can easily have those answered by either giving us a call at 651-636-5184 or by submitting this form at www.triumphonic.com, and somebody would be more than happy to get back to you and answer your questions.
Hello and welcome to this presentation of Mobile Speak Pocket for Pocket PC or PDA devices. I'm Scott Rutkowski from Sydney, Australia, and for the next little while we're going to be talking about Pocket PC and we're going to give you a demonstration of how Mobile Speak Pocket performs on the PDA device. This particular Pocket PC device I have here is a HP iPack HX2750, and it's running the operating system Windows Mobile 2003 Second Edition. Now, Windows Mobile is very similar to Windows on your desktop. The problem with it is, it wasn't specifically made for the blind and vision impaired market. So, it's had to be adapted by the people who make Mobile Speak Pocket, which is Code Factory. They've done an excellent job of Mobile Speak Pocket, and I'm going to be showing some of the features now of Mobile Speak Pocket, and giving you a bit of a listen. So, we'll turn the device on, and we'll give you a bit of a demonstration now of what you can expect when you first install Mobile Speak Pocket. which can be totally done yourself using a screen reader on your desktop machine. The device will plug into your USB port, and you simply run the Mobile Speak installation and go through the instructions. Quite easy to do, and that is quite cool. If you have Windows Mobile version 5 on your PDA device, you will require assistance due to the fact that when you get to a certain point through the installation, it will prompt you to click an option on the PDA itself, which you will need help with doing. Okay, so we're going to turn on this PDA for you, and you'll be able to listen to it. And it comes with DeckTalk speech. There are other voices planned for the future, but at the moment, DeckTalk is what we're using here. So we'll just pick up the device and turn it on.
Today's screen.
Okay, it says today's screen. Now, if I arrow up and down, with the PDA you get 5 buttons on the PDA. Some have 4, some have less, but this one has 5. You've got your touch screen at the top, where you'd use your stylus to tap certain parts of the screen if you're sighted. Just below the touch screen, you've got the up and down, left and right arrows, and in the middle is an enter key, and you've got 4 hardware buttons, 2 on either side of the left and right arrow keys. Basically, when you install Mobile Speak, these buttons are redefined to Tab, Alt, Shift and Control, so you can then use your device. So what I'm going to do is arrow down, and you'll be able to hear what is available to you.
Tuesday, 22 November 2005.
Okay, that's the date, and it's telling you the date there. That's so you can see the date, and if you have any appointments, which is coming up a little further on in the screen here. So I'll arrow down again.
Owner Scott Rutkowski.
That's the owner, which is myself. You can actually input your own information into this device when you set it up. It's quite cool when you go through all of that.
Scott's mail went unread.
Okay, there's one unread email sitting in here. With the Pocket PC, you get a pocket version of Outlook, which we're going to come to shortly. And it is very, very cool the way it works. It's not... It's easy to use once you get used to it. It's a little different to the desktop version of Outlook, but it will actually sync up with your PC and will work quite happily there. What else we have? We'll go down again.
No tasks.
No tasks, so I haven't got any tasks assigned, which is fine.
No upcoming appointments.
No appointments at the moment.
Mobile Speak Pocket running.
And I've got Mobile Speak Pocket running right now. What we'll do is we'll just show you, first of all, we'll go into the Mobile Speak Pocket control panel shortly and just describe some of the options there. We won't describe everything because there's far too many options to describe. What Code Factory have done is they've actually divided the PDA into 4 segments. So the 4 corners will do different functions. So, for example, if I press they call them virtual keys. So, key 1 to key 4. So, key 1 will be at the top left of your screen, key 2 to the right, and key 3 to the bottom right-hand corner of the PDA, and key 4 at the bottom left. If I hold down key 4 by tapping the bottom left corner of the PDA, I hold my finger down for about a second, you'll hear the battery status. Here we go.
Battery level is 100, volume 8.
So battery level is 100 and volume is 8. That's the status. So you can always hit that, hold your hand down on the key. On the bottom left corner, there's no actual key there, it's just an actual touch screen. And you just hold your finger down on that. Let it go after a second.
Battery level is 100, volume 8.
And that will give you the status information. Okay, with the top left corner of the screen, if you tap it once, it'll take you to the taskbar, like on your Windows machine. We'll do that so you can hear what it sounds like.
Start.
That's the start button I'm on now. If I arrow to the right...
Not connected.
That's the wireless icon for the built-in wireless in this device. If I go to the right again...
Volume.
That's the volume. So if you press enter on that, which is on... all PDAs have different layouts, but if I press the enter key, which is in the middle of these four arrows... I'd be in a sliding control where I could move my volume up and down. I'll show you what I mean. I'll just enter.
Volume window, slider minimum 0, maximum 5, position 5.
Okay, so that's the loudest. I'll go to the right.
4.
That's on 4, 3, 2, and then 1. So I'll go back to 5 by hitting the left arrow.
3, 4, 5.
Okay. Now, you don't get... You do get an OK button to exit most dialog boxes, but basically to get out of a dialog box like this volume control, if you tap key 2 on these virtual keys, the top right corner of the PDA, if you tap it twice, it'll take you back to where you were.
Today screen.
And I'm back on the today screen, where I were when we first turned the device on. Okay. We're going to show you the start menu, just so you can get an idea. It's very similar to the start menu on a desktop machine. So to get to the start menu, you have to tap the top virtual key twice, very quickly, a bit like double-clicking with a mouse. So we'll tap the top left corner twice.
Today, 1 of 15.
Okay, here's the start menu. So we've got the today screen, which is the first item.
Calendar, 2 of 15.
There's a calendar where you can set up appointments and that sort of thing. Very similar to the calendar that comes in Outlook. Most of these applications are part of the, similar, sort of like Office, but these are cut down versions of all the applications that you have.
Contacts, 3 of 15.
There's your contacts in there, so you can either send contacts from your mobile phone if you've got one, and have contacts in there, or you can sync them with your PC's contacts and vice versa. Very, very cool feature. It works quite well.
Internet Explorer, 4 of 15.
Internet Explorer, so you can browse web pages. Works very similar to how WindowEyes and JAWS handle browsing on a web page, which we'll do very soon.
iPack Wireless, 5 of 15.
iPack Wireless, that's how you can turn your wireless on and off. At this time, that application isn't very friendly at all and cannot be used due to its graphical nature. So there are other ways to turn your wireless on and off using profiles, which we'll come to soon.
Messaging, 6 of 15.
Messaging is where you will do your email. So you go into messaging and you have email in there, which is fine. It's very similar to your inbox in Outlook and Outlook Express, and you read your email from in messaging. Very, very cool application.
Mobile Speak Pocket, 7 of 15.
Mobile Speak Pocket, that's the application that makes this device speak. Without it, you'll just have a PDA that'll just sit there, and you can stare at it and turn blue in the face, nothing will happen. So you need Mobile Speak installed, Mobile Speak Pocket installed, to get some use from this device.
File Explorer, 8 of 15.
File Explorer is like Windows Explorer. You can actually explore directories on the device, and it works quite well. Not a bad program, that one too.
Stowaway Keyboard, 9 of 15.
Okay. With a PDA device, if you want to input information into the PDA itself, like in Pocket Word or email, you'll need a Bluetooth keyboard. There are input methods you can use that Code Factory have generously put into Mobile Speak Pocket Aorus, and they're all in the manual. I'm not going to go into those here. This is just a demonstration of how the PDA and Mobile Speak Pocket work in general. But yeah, I would recommend an external Bluetooth keyboard. And the one that I've got here is called the Stowaway Keyboard, and it's made by a company called Think Outside. And it's very cool. It folds up, and you simply unfold it, and it folds out to about the size of a laptop keyboard, a bit smaller there, and you can use that keyboard to hook up to the PDA via Bluetooth and input information that way. Very, very cool, and that's just the application for that for the keyboard, so you can sync it up with your PDA, etc.
Windows Media 10 or 15.
Windows Media is the Windows Media Player 10 software to play media clips, MP3s, etc. Very cool.
MSN Messenger 11 or 15.
MSN Messenger, everybody knows what that will be. You can chat on there with MSN Messenger. Very, very cool application.
ActiveSync 12 or 15.
ActiveSync. Now, ActiveSync is technology that you would use when you plug your PDA device into your computer via USB. You need ActiveSync on your PC and on the PDA to send software from your PC to your PDA device. So, to install Mobile Speak, for example, you would hook up your PC to your PDA. You'd install ActiveSync on your PC, which you get off the Microsoft website or with the CD that comes with your device. And you simply create a partnership with that device so the devices know they exist. And then you simply follow the instructions and install the software. So any application you want to install onto your Pocket PC has to be done via ActiveSync. And it's really good how it works. Quite cool.
Programs 13 or 15.
Okay. Program is like in Windows. So we'll go in there shortly and show you what you get. It's really cool.
Settings 14 or 15.
Settings is like on your desktop. You go into settings and you get your control panel and other options there. It's quite cool.
Help 15 or 15.
Help is like your help in the start menu. You go in there, you get different topics, and you can actually read through some of those. That's quite cool.
Today, 1 of 15.
And you're back to the today screen. So that's pretty much how that's going to work. Okay, what I want to cover basically now, I want to cover Internet Explorer and wireless on a PDA, but before even that, probably I want to actually cover how Mobile Speak Pocket what you can control. So we're going to go back to Mobile Speak Pocket.
Internet, iPad, message, Mobile Speak Pocket, 7 of 15.
Enter on Mobile Speak Pocket.
Control panel window, list, modes, 1 of 10.
Okay, these are your Mobile Speak options. This is your control panel, and you can do different things. Modes is verbosity, where you can have it speaking certain information, or not enough, or more information, like 1 of 15. You can also have it telling you all sorts of information. We'll show you some of that in a second.
Modes, 1 of 10. General, 2 of 10.
Okay, general, that's got some information there.
Hardware keys, 3 of 10.
You can reprogram the hardware buttons if you don't like how they've been configured.
We will continue this presentation from Scott Rakowski on next week's edition of Main Menu. In addition, we'll hear from Scott Rakowski all about Trend Micro's PC Cylon 2006. If you would like to reach the Main Menu team, email us at mainmenu@acbradio.org. We'd love to hear from you, whether you have comments or questions about this week's show, or if you actually have some ideas for upcoming shows for Main Menu. Do get a hold of us. We'll see all of you next week on ACB Radio's Main Menu.